Well, amen. Praise the Lord for the special music tonight, and praise the Lord for the testimonies, and they must have had an exceptional camp. I think the first time ever that I've ever heard one of the campers say that they enjoyed the camp food. I mean, I don't know where that, what happened there, but that was a spiritual decision right there to be thankful no matter what, right? And give thanks. 1 Kings chapter 14. 1 Kings chapter 14. And Sunday nights we've been looking at little known Bible characters that have a powerful message for us. And I believe this one tonight is, you might not know of Ahijah, but a powerful testimony. I think it's got a message that will speak to all of us through his example and his life. And so 1 Kings chapter 14, go ahead and stand with me. We're going to be reading here. I'm actually going to be reading verse 1 down to verse 18 tonight to let you understand have the full impact of the story of Ahijah. 1 Kings chapter 14, verse 1. At that time, Abijah the son of Jeroboam fell sick. Jeroboam said to his wife, "Arise, I pray thee, and disguise thyself, and that thou be not known to be the wife of Jeroboam, and get thee to Shiloh. Behold, there is Ahijah the prophet, which told me that I should be king over this people. And take with thee 10 loaves and cracknels and cruse of honey, and go to him, and he shall tell thee what shall become of the child." And Jeroboam's wife did so, and arose and went to Shiloh, and came to the house of Ahijah. But Ahijah could not see, for his eyes were set by reason of his age. And the Lord said unto Ahijah, "Behold, the wife of Jeroboam cometh to ask of a thing of thee for her son, for he is sick. Thus and thus shalt thou say unto her, for it shall be when she cometh in that she shall feign herself to be another woman." And it was so when Ahijah heard the sound of her feet as she came in at the door, that he said, "Come in, thou wife of Jeroboam. Why feignest thyself to be another? For I am sent to thee with heavy tidings. Go tell Jeroboam, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, for as much as I exalted thee and from among the people and made thee prince over my people Israel, and rent the kingdom away from the house of David and gave it to thee, yet thou hast not been as my servant David, who kept my commandments and who followed me with all his heart, to do that only which was right in mine eyes, but hast done evil above all that were before thee. For thou hast gone and made thee other gods and molten images to provoke me to anger, and hast cast me behind thy back. Therefore, behold, I will bring evil upon the house of Jeroboam. I will cut off from Jeroboam him that pisseth against the wall, and him that is shut up and left in Israel, and will take away the remnant of the house of Jeroboam, as a man taketh away dung till it be all gone. Him that dieth of Jeroboam in the city shall the dogs eat, and him that dieth in the field shall the fowls of the air eat, for the Lord has spoken it. Arise thou, therefore, get thee to thine own house, and when thy feet enter into the city, the child shall die. And all of Israel shall mourn for him and bury him, for he only of Jeroboam shall come to the grave, because in him there is found some good thing toward the Lord God of Israel in the house of Jeroboam. Moreover, the Lord shall raise him a king over Israel, who shall cut off the house of Jeroboam that day. But what? Even now, for the Lord shall smite Israel as a reed is shaken in the water, and he shall root up Israel out of this good land, which he shall give to their fathers, and shall scatter them beyond the river, because they have made their groves, provoking the Lord to anger. And he shall give Israel up because of the sins of Jeroboam, who did sin, and who made Israel to sin. And Jeroboam's wife arose and departed, and came to Tirzah. And when she came to the threshold of the door, the child died. And they buried him, and all Israel mourned for him, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by the hand of his servant Ahijah the prophet. And let's pray. Father, as we bow before you tonight, we thank you for what we've already received this evening. what a joy and a blessing it's been just being in church. But as we look to this Bible character that you have recorded in the Scriptures, I just pray, God, tonight that you'd help each one of us to receive a powerful message, something that might we might be able to apply to our lives through this. Pray that you'd empower and bless the preaching of thy word once again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Well, I trust you understand the story that we have just read concerning what was taking place in Israel. Ahijah was an old prophet who was blind and no doubt very feeble with his old age. The Bible says that in verse 4. The Bible says that Jeroboam's wife did so and rose and went to Shiloh and came to the house of Ahijah. But Ahijah could not see, for his eyes were set by reason of his old age. As I think of Ahijah there in his house, and he knew that when she came in, that no doubt he hadn't had many visitors. He knew that she was the one that the Spirit of God had revealed to him would come. He knew that this would be the wife of the king of Israel. Many around him might have been wondering why God hadn't taken him on to glory. Ahijah might have even at time from time wondered, why am I here? I really can't do anything. I'm too feeble to get out of the house. If I'm going to be used by God, they have to come to my house. I can't get out. I can't see anymore. Can't get around like I used to. I wonder why I'm here. That might have taken place in Ahijah's own heart and mind. Those who were ministering to him, taking care of him, might have been thinking the very same thing. Why does God allow him to stay here? Why does he still have life? What we learn about Ahijah is something that I think all of us need to take to heart. And that is, Ahijah remained ready to be used of God. He kept himself usable. A very important act of service is what we've just seen right here when God used Ahijah in a very important way in the nation of Israel, for the nation of Israel. He told him, she came in, he preached the message to her to take back to tell the king and what was going to take place and the reason because of it. Everything, and Ahijah had that message and he was very usable. He was able to present that to her in a way that she would take this back to Jeroboam. A very important act of service followed years of seemingly insignificant, unimportant, possibly even repetitive, small acts of obedience. There are two recorded prophecies that God used Ahijah to present. Only two in his entire life, and they were 25 years apart. No doubt there was small things he was doing. No doubt every day God had purpose and he was living his life. But it was 25 years before God would actually call on him to do something that he would record in the Scriptures. And so for 25 years, acts of service, seemingly insignificant, unimportant, many times even repetitive. Time to go to church again. Got to go, time to open. When the doors are open, I'm supposed to be there. So week by week, repetitively, just go to church when it's time. Many times I go to church and God might speak to you and things happen, but I don't know that it changes my life every time I come. I'm teaching a Sunday school class every week. I don't know if any of the kids are getting anything. I try to do my best. It seems like sometimes it can be just small acts of obedience, but it keeps us ready for whatever God has for us to accomplish. His first recorded prophecy to Jeroboam. Now, both of his recorded acts of prophecy were to the king of Israel, who would have impacted many other people's lives. He was the king of Israel. He would be the first king of the divided kingdom of the 10 tribes, of the northern 10 tribes of Israel. That's why the Lord said he took it away from the seed of David. Rehoboam was David's son. Look there with me, if you will. 1 Kings chapter 11, we find how God used him the very first time, 25 years earlier. 25 years earlier, we find this recording about God using Ahijah. 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 26. And Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, an Ephrathite of Zeradi, Solomon's servant, whose mother's name was Zerah, a widow woman, even he lifted up his hand against the king. So Jeroboam's not of the seed of David. He was not a son of Solomon. He was the son of one of Solomon's servants. He was a servant of Solomon whose mother's name was Zeruah. And this was the cause that he lifted up his hand against King Solomon. Solomon built Millo and repaired the breaches of the city of David, his father. And the man Jeroboam was a mighty man of valor. And Solomon, seeing the young man, that he was industrious, he made him ruler over all the charge of the house of Joseph. And it came to pass at that time when Jeroboam went out of Jerusalem that the prophet Ahijah, we find here the first mention as he's coming, and now God's got a very important act of service. He's going to be used of God to pronounce a prophecy to Jeroboam. He found him in the way, and he had clad himself with a new garment, and they too were alone in the field. And Ahijah caught the new garment that was on him and rent it in 12 pieces. And he said to Jeroboam, "Take thee 10 pieces, for thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, behold, I will rend the kingdom out of the hand of Solomon and will give 10 tribes to thee. But he shall have one tribe." This is the prophecy of the divided kingdom of Israel. It's a prophecy of who would be the first king of the 10 northern tribes of Israel, and that would not come from the seed of David. Very important stuff. "But he shall have one tribe for my servant David's sake and for Jerusalem's sake, the city which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel." That would have been Judah. "Because that they have forsaken me and have worshipped Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Zidonians, Chemosh, the god of the Moabites, and Milcom, the god of the children of Ammon, and have not walked in my ways to do that which is right in mine eyes and to keep my statutes and my judgment, as did David his father." So we find here that his first recorded prophecy to Jeroboam, Ahijah told Jeroboam what God was going to do and the reason for it. Now Jeroboam, outside of Ahijah telling him that, probably would not. He was a righteous man. He was a godly man. The Bible says that he was a tremendous soldier of Solomon's. He probably would not have even thought about ever becoming a king. But Ahijah knew that God was going to use him and that God would give him opportunity to be the first king of the 10 northern tribes. And it was Ahijah that God entrusted to take that message to this young man whose name was Jeroboam. Verse 38, as he continued to speak to Jeroboam the prophecies of God, "And it shall be, if thou wilt hearken unto all that I command thee, and will walk in my ways, and do that is right in my sight, to keep my statutes and my commandments, as David my servant did, that I will be with thee. even though you're not of the seed of David, if you do what I want you to do, if you serve me, then I will be with thee and build thee a sure house as I built for David and will give Israel unto thee. Wow. So Ahijah reveals to Jeroboam how that he could have God's blessings on his reign as he was a king. All he would have to do is to follow the Lord. It was God who is going to give him this position. It was God's children that he was to be king of. And God had given him what God wanted him to do, and if he would do that, then God says, you can have the blessings. Even some of the very same blessings that I have blessed for the seed of David. So Jeroboam would have known about God. Jeroboam would have known what God expected of him. And he chose to disassociate himself with God. He chose the other gods of the lands and became one of the most ungodly kings. That's who he is. That's what's taking place. That was the first prophecy. 25 years later. After that prophecy, Ahijah, just every day he would get up and he would say, you know, God might have something for me to do today, something very important. I need to keep myself ready. I'm going to pray. I'm going to continue to do the things that might seem insignificant. I'm going to continue to do some things on a repetitive basis. Amen. Sometimes it's good just to do it because it's right to do them. Amen. You know, you're not always going to feel like reading your Bible, but it's right. It's the right thing to do to read your Bible. Amen. I don't always feel like spending time in prayer. Now, once I get in prayer, because the flesh and the devil's trying to keep me from it, once I get in prayer, there's never a time that I'm not so thankful that I went to the Lord in prayer. But I went into the Lord in prayer because I knew it was just the right thing to do. You might not experience heaven coming down every time that you attend a service. As your pastor, I try to do my best to prepare and then to present it to you as God would have me to present it to you. But every now and then, I'm human. Every now and then, my mind might not be as sharp as other times, and I might not say exactly what I need to say, and I might not present things exactly the way they need to be presented. I don't know. Sometimes after I've finished a message, I'm thinking, boy, you just really stunk on that one. And yet sometimes when I think that I had not been used of God is when I get the most comments about how God used that message. And I realize I'm really insignificant. It's not about me. It's about God. As long as I do my best every time, that's all I can do. There's times that I'm going to be sick. There's times that I'm not going to feel as well as others. I've come to the platform and get ready to preach many times, not feeling very well at all. I've never missed a service on Sunday due to sickness. And I praise God for that. But that does not mean that I have not preached when I was sick. There's been many times that those types of things will take place. And so you might not experience the same thing every service, but you know that's what God would have you to do is keep yourself in church. You might not be able to be blessed by every special that is sung here. Every now and then the mics might go out. Every now and then, the mics might be changed around to where they thought they were singing this part, but that was keyed up for this other mic. And it might not sound like what you're used to hearing our music sound like. Amen. What I'm saying is it might not be the same every time, but sometimes you just got to know this is what God would have me to do, and I need to do those things that God would have me to do to keep myself ready for whatever God has planned for my life. 25 years. Very important act of service followed years of seemingly insignificant, unimportant, repetitive, small acts of obedience. That's what Ahijah did to keep himself ready, even though he lost his sight. No doubt when Ahijah started losing his sight, been 25 years, and the Lord hadn't really used him to any great capacity, he might have been thinking, Lord, I don't know why I'm here. I can't see. I'd much rather be on going to glory and get my glorified eyes. I'd much rather go on to glory and be able to have my healing of my eyesight. I don't know why I'm here. All I can do is lay in this bed. And Lord, I don't understand. Why am I still around? He would have thought that, no doubt, when he's losing his eyesight, when he can't even go out anymore, can't go door to door, can't go to the temple, can't do this and can't do that, people have to come to my house if I'm going to have any kind of impact on their lives. Why am I here? 25 years. Small acts of obedience is what kept him ready for the second most important act of obedience that he would experience in this life. That's powerful stuff. You see, Ahijah's second recorded prophecy is what we read tonight in 1 Kings 14, verses 1 through 18. Only Ahijah could present this message to Jeroboam with the impact that God wanted it to have. Because it was Ahijah that brought Jeroboam the first message from God. It was Ahijah that brought to Jeroboam the message that God said, you're going to be the next king over 10 tribes of the northern kingdom of Israel. And it came to pass. It came to pass just as Ahijah had said. But for the next some 25 years, as king, he went a different direction. 25 years later, a life-threatening sickness overcame Jeroboam's son, his youngest son. And Jeroboam remembered Ahijah. 25 years later, he remembered what this prophet of God told him. And he's lived it out for 25 years. He knew that this man was truly a prophet of God. No one else could have known that. No one else could have told him that. And God got the message across to Jeroboam through Ahijah 25 years earlier. And now God wanted to get another message to Jeroboam. And the only one that could give him this message to have the impact that it had upon his life would have been the very same prophet. Verse 2 said, 1 Kings 14, and Jeroboam said to his wife, arise, I pray thee, and disguise thyself, that thou be not known to be the wife of Jeroboam because of the king, and get thee to Shiloh. He had been serving all these other gods. But when it came down to his own son, and he wanted to know what was going to happen to him, he was going to ask somebody to heal his son. He didn't turn to the other false gods. He turned to the one God that he knew was truly a God. The only God. And behold, there is Ahijah, the prophet, which told me that I should be king over this people 25 years earlier. And Ahijah was ready for this assignment. Yeah. Twenty-five years later, he's bedridden, can't sit. I mean, he's at least he can't go out of old age, feeble, can't see. And the Spirit said, Ahijah, this is what I have you here for. Ahijah, there's going to come a woman through the door, and this is going to be Jeroboam's wife. And I've kept you here for this purpose. Tell her what I want you to tell her. And have her take it back to King Jeroboam. Ahijah kept himself ready to be used. Can I tell you tonight, there's no doubt God has a plan for how he will use every one of his servants. The question I want to ask you, and I'm almost done tonight, but the question I want to ask you is this: have you and are you keeping yourself ready to be used? You might be doing a lot of things right now that you don't even realize that these things are keeping you usable. What you're doing might seemingly be insignificant. What you're doing might seemingly be unimportant. What you're doing even might seem repetitive, but they're small acts of obedience. And obedience is what keeps us ready to be used of the Lord. Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15, a very well-known passage of Scripture dealing with the prodigal. A son who did not want to live the lifestyle of his father. A son who thought he knew more than his family. Who thought they were old-fashioned and boring. Didn't have any fun. A son who thought that if he had the money, he could enjoy life. He took of his inheritance. And he went out, set out on his own to make his impact on society. To eat, drink, and be merry, thinking his life was going to be more than it had ever been before. And sin for a season can be somewhat enjoyable to the flesh. There is pleasures of sin, but they only last for a temporary time. And the end result of those are death, destruction. After the money ran out, all those he thought cared for him, and that was his friends, they left when the money left. And he finds himself eating the very same slop that the pigs ate. And the Bible says, verse 17, and you know this verse well, but it says, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to despair, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. He finally came to himself and he realized the mistakes that he had made. He realized what his father's servants had, and he didn't even feel like he was worthy to be called the son of his father any longer. But what he did understand is his father was right, and that lifestyle was what he desired at that point, and that gave him purpose for life, and it was something that he wanted back in his life, and he left the pig pen. But let me ask you something. What if when he got to the father's house, his father wasn't there? What if his father, when his son decided to turn away from God and start living the righteous life, what if his father would have said, well, if he's going to do it, I'm going to do it. Maybe he's right. Maybe we are living a boring life, and maybe we should be able to get out and enjoy things more, and maybe we ought to take our monies and whatever we have, and why don't we just start living our life as the world does? What if when his son finally came to himself, when he went home, his father wasn't there? You wouldn't have this story. And I know that this is a parable, and I know that God is supposed is looked at as the Heavenly Father. And can I tell you that God is always prepared? He's always there. But it still is given to us as a son, a prodigal son, going back to his father. But if his father wasn't there, was there any hope at all for this boy at this point? Would there be any chance for him? Can I tell you, parents, keep yourself ready for that child. More and more, as the world goes the direction it is, there's going to be those that even are raised in church that look around, and somehow they've been looking at things maybe they shouldn't have been looking at. Maybe they've been watching some television programs that really paint a different picture of society and really make them think that they are wasting their life and they're not having fun and we ought to be doing this and doing that. And maybe they get on the internet and they start roaming around the internet and they start seeing things, and Satan uses this to plant thoughts in their hearts and their mind. Maybe they come across other friends in the neighborhood. Maybe it's a school friend. Maybe it's somebody else that comes into their life and says, hey, your parents are boring, and my parents let me do this, and they can do this and that, and look at the fun we're having. And can I tell you, we're going to experience prodigal young people in the world in which we live. But I trust you understand what you've instilled within them is not in vain. And what you have tried as much as you could to take these principles, these biblical principles, and teach them to your children, that will be in them forever. Amen. Whether or not they yield to it, whether or not they turn back to it, that's up to them and their free will. But you're giving them the best chance possible to turn out right. Amen. And when they do, go a different direction. Are you going to be there when they come back? Are you going to be there to be used of God to give them the right counsel when they come back all torn and tattered, feeling like they've wasted their lives? Are you keeping yourself ready? Well, if you're continuing to do the small acts of obedience, you will be. Even though those small acts might seem insignificant, unimportant, even sometimes repetitive, they're doing more than what you realize. Spouse, your spouse, your husband, or your wife, they might want to get a divorce. It's probably because they've been influenced by something outside of the home that they want more than what they have in the home, whatever that might be. And can I tell you, with the society that we're living in now, that they're sending all the different emails to anybody and everyone that has an email, and how you can have an affair and you can do this and you can do that, and all the temptations and everything that goes along with that, if they just happen to have a thought in their mind and they tap into that and they start being influenced by that, and that's the direction that they end up going and lose sight of God's perfect will for their lives, and that is to remain married. And they might make some foolish decisions. Will you remain ready? Because if that individual is truly saved, can I tell you, you have the Holy Spirit of God working beside you. You have the Holy Spirit of God on your side, because God is always on the side of righteousness. Whether that person is right or not, God's always on the side of righteousness, and you need to make sure that you're living a life that is pleasing to God, so that God, as I preached on this morning, is on your side and you're on His side. Because at some point, the Spirit of God might get through to them. right before they eat the husk that the pigs are getting ready to eat. And they realize, I have a spouse that loves me. I have a spouse that would take care of me. I have a spouse that I've failed. Maybe at that point, there's repentance in their heart, and they said, I'm not worthy. I don't deserve forgiveness, but I'm going to go back. Are you keeping yourself ready? Have you given up on the will of God? I've counseled so many that said, well, he did it to me first, and so he did it. Since he did it, I thought I'm going to show him I can do it too. And Satan's got double victory. And there's more casualties. Yeah. For 25 years, Ahijah just kept doing the small acts of obedience, thinking, if I'm here, I don't understand, I don't see it, but if I'm here, God still has a plan and a purpose for my life. And he kept himself ready. Sister, brother, maybe even parent, young people, you try to witness to your parents. They might not want to live that life. Have you kept yourself ready so you can continue to have an impact on their lives? Friend, you never know who and you never know when God wants your life to impact another person's life. I've given this testimony before, but it fits in so well right here. And I was rebelling against the call of God upon my life when I was around 19 years old. And I was working at that time as Baker Chevrolet on Shadeland Avenue. And my brother-in-law was the body shop manager at that location, and there was a young man that had come in, knew about somewhat about my family as far as I had been in church and the different things. I'd never witnessed to him on my own. But I was running from God. And I remember I was working on a car, and he come back there and he says, my girlfriend's been telling me something about I need to get saved. And I understand that you used to go to church, or you're going to church, you're supposed to be a Christian. What is that? What is that about being saved? And the Spirit of God pricked my heart and said, you need to witness him. And I thought, I don't want it right now. I don't want to think about God in my life. I don't want to be hindered by the thought of Christianity. I just want to let me live my life. This man's name was Preston Wilson. And I said, I don't know what you're talking about, Preston. He just kind of looked at me some funny. That's the last time I seen him alive. He looked at me kind of funny. As he walked away, I knew that I should have witnessed to him. That was on a Friday. The very next day, on a Saturday, he stole a motorcycle out of Washington Square. And as he's running away from the police officers, he ran through a red light at Post in Washington, and when he was running through the lights, another car pulled in front of him. And he hit that car going, they estimated, around 80 miles an hour. Didn't have a helmet on. When he came down, he hit the curb, his head hit the curb, and he passed away. I didn't keep myself ready. If I would have been where I should have been, if I would have had the mentality, if I would have been used of God and saying, God, use me, I'm ready, I want to help other people to know you, then at that moment, at that time, when he would have asked me, I could have led him to the Lord. I don't believe he would have been stealing a motorcycle on Saturday. I live with that. Because I wasn't ready to be used of God. there's another man in hell. At the funeral I went to, his girlfriend was pregnant. She was 8 months pregnant, and when she went by the casket, she grabbed his body and pulled his body up out of the casket and said, "I need you. You can't leave me. I need you." Ahijah kept himself ready to be used. You might have a prodigal that's going to come back one day. You might have a spouse that might come back one day. You might have a sister. You might have a brother. You might have a friend. Will you be ready? Years of small acts of obedience kept Ahijah ready to be used. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. Small acts of obedience, doing those things sometimes that just are repetitive, but they're necessary if you're going to keep yourself ready to be used. When God wants you, when God wants to use you, be ready. Be ready. Fathers, we bow before you tonight. We thank you for this testimony of Ahijah. And Lord, how we can learn a powerful message from this prophet of God. When others didn't see his life as meaning much, possibly Ahijah himself didn't see how he could be used again, and yet you used him again in a very powerful way. I believe you want to use each and every one of us in some way to accomplish things that you have for us to accomplish in our lives. Help us, Lord, to keep ourselves ready. Bless now in this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.